Hallelujah. Praise God. Greetings to you all in the Master's name for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just want us to read a psalm together, actually two psalms together. We will be reading two psalms this morning, Psalm 130 and Psalm 131. Nooti muppadam sangirtanam, nooti muppati onnam sangirtanam, namukku chernu vaikkam. We can read it together, Psalm 130 and Psalm 131. I will be reading from the New American Standard Bible Version. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us thank God for the Psalms that we read this morning. Let us raise up our hands and lift praise and worship to our God this morning. He is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all honor. Even as we have come to worship this morning, let us thank him for what he's done in our life. Let us thank him for keeping us safe another week. Let us thank him for the glorious works that is going on in our hearts. Let us thank Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for these two psalms that we read this morning, Father. Lord, I pray, Father, that your spirit will speak to us, Lord. Father, we submit ourselves and we surrender ourselves into your mighty hands, God. Spirit of God, will you lead us into the depths of your scriptures? Spirit of God, will you take us even deeper and deeper inside of you? Lord, I pray that, God, our hearts will be transformed this morning as we look into the scriptures. Lord, I pray that it will transform our hearts and transform our lives, Lord. I pray that we will not be the same as we came this morning, Lord. Help us to encounter you in a new and a fresh way, Lord. I pray that that encounter will transform us to be more like you, Jesus. Father, Lord, we thank you, Father, for this Sunday morning service, God. We submit ourselves into your mighty hands, Lord. We submit ourselves as a church into your mighty hands, God. I pray, Father, that you will speak to us, that you will prepare us, Lord. Be with my lips and my tongue, Father. Lord, as I speak, Father, I pray that, Lord, it will be the Spirit that guides, Father, the words into the hearts of the people that need to hear it. God, Father, I have no power to change or transform or bring people to repentance or to convict them or to encourage them. That is totally you, Holy Spirit. You gave me these words. I pray that it will be effective, that it will be fruitful, that it will bring about, Lord Jesus, Father, blessing, encouragement, and discipline wherever it is needed. Let your name be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. Praise the Lord. It is a blessing for me to be here in front of all of you. And I know it is very different. We don't usually read two psalms. One psalm is good enough. But then today I felt like I wanted to mainly focus on Psalm 131. And if you have read with me, it has only three verses. So I felt that if I just read that, maybe it might not feel like it's a complete sermon. So I was praying and I asked God, how can I direct this more? And then God put in my attention also to look at Psalm 130, and Psalm 130 and 131 combined together is the message that I want to speak on. So these two psalms are You've heard a lot of people who preach from the Psalms say Psalms are divided into five different books. And, you know, they're book one, book two, book three, book four, book five. Okay. And so this Psalms that I just read, these two Psalms are part of the book five of the Psalm. So these Psalms were written many, many, many years ago, but they were collected and then they were arranged in a way which is trying to tell us a greater meaning or purpose of the book of Psalms. So there is a lot of thought that went into how the Psalms were arranged, and they were directed by a person who came later. These songs might be from Korah or from David or from Solomon, and all these different Psalms are there from different people. But then a few years in after the Babylon captivity, these Psalms were taken and arranged in certain order so that people who read these Psalms will be moving into a place. There is thematic material moving the people who are singing these Psalms. Now, we have also experienced this, you know, if you take the Malayalam, Malayalam books, the Malayalam song books, you will see that these song books are arranged by theme. There is fasting, there is prayer, there is crucifixion. You don't see that necessarily in English song books. In English song books, often they are arranged alphabetically. But if you look at the Malayalam song books, they are arranged thematically. They're arranged according to theme. So if I want to sing a psalm of prayer, I will just look for Prarthana songs, Prarthana Geetangal, and I go and look at it. I can find songs that are directed for prayer in those psalms. So these books too were arranged according to thematic material. Okay, so this is what I want to talk about. Before I go further, though, and before I forget, I want to wish all our wonderful mothers a happy Mother's Day. You guys are just beautiful people. I know I can't see all of your beautiful faces. You know, I will tell that every Sunday without shame, by the way. So I will see all of your beautiful faces one day, hopefully face to face. Thank you for coming on. So then I just want to say that, you know, mothers, you have a vital role to play in all of our lives. It is just a blessing for me to see all of you and to be here and to wish you all a happy Mother's Day. Mothers, you know, you play a critical role in my life. I think Jesus said this, that when someone came and said to Jesus, oh, how blessed your mother must be, you know, because, you know, Jesus could turn things into water into wine and turn things like that. Maybe, you know, he probably just snapped his fingers and all his house chores were done. Like, you know, like, so that lady must have thought, well, how blessed your mother must be to have a son like you. But then Jesus responds and says, my mother are the people who do the will of the Father. All of these people are doing the will of the Father. And I'm grateful that God has given me mothers in my life, like my own mother, my grandmother, my mother-in-law, are all people who have influenced my life in a big way. They have impacted my life. And God willing, Betty will be a mother soon. You know, so that's also another thing that, you know, I'm very grateful for. God has blessed us, you know, with a child in her womb. And so all of these things are telling us that you know, mothers have an important role to play. As I walk beside Betty these days, she's not feeling well. You know, she feels like vomiting or feels nauseated. You know, she tells me these months cannot be as hard as labor pain. You know, the pain that she's going through, nausea, her tummy pains, her aches, her everything that's causing, and she tells me it cannot be as hard as labor pain. And well, she may be half joking, but you know, it's true. When the labor pain comes, all of these pain will be forgotten. But all mothers that I talk to, they tell me this, that the minute the child is born, it's almost like everything else just fades away. Their most painful experience just walks away. So honestly, even if you are a good child, you caused your mother pain at some point. So really, that they love you and smile at you and hold you and feed you, you know, you should be really grateful to them. Anyway, that was just my spiel for Happy Mother's Day, mothers to be. For all the mothers that are part of our church, we thank you. You do a phenomenal job in raising wonderful people. You raise your children well. You are often the cement in our household. You hold people together. If there is problems within the household, you guys come like cool water and soothe everybody out and bring people together. Thank you for the role that you do. And I know that you will continue to be a blessing in our church as well. So a part of the reason why I read this psalm is also because I was thinking more about what should I share on Mother's Day. So that's why I was looking at this psalm. So I was looking at psalms that will tell me, you know, something to do with mothers. So that's why I went into Psalm 131. So but I want to build this story together, Psalm 130 and Psalm 131. Okay, we're going to look at it systematically. Remember I told you this is part of book 5 of the psalm. But Psalms 120 to Psalm 134 is a subheading within the book 5 of the psalm. They're called songs of ascent. They are songs of ascent, meaning they're songs that people sing as they're climbing towards the temple. You know, the temple is on a mountain. It's in a hill. So as they reach the mountain, they're climbing up. These are the songs they sing. Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. They're called or grouped together as song of ascents. So these songs that we just read, Psalm 130 and Psalm 131, they're both songs of ascent. Again, what is an ascent? I just want to explain that before I go further. Once again, there are three pilgrimages, annual pilgrimages that every Jew must travel to Jerusalem. Every year, Ella Varsham, Moon Dawsangalil, our Jerusalem Uru pilgrimage pole, Muslims Hajj Jainole, pilgrimage our Jerusalem Chenam. So there were three different events, you know. One is Passover, one is Shavuot, one is Sukkot, okay, or Pesach. Shavuot and Sukkot. These are the three occasions when you have to come to Jerusalem. We know them in English as Passover, as the days of Pentecost, or the Feast of Tabernacles. So these are the 3 days. If you read in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16 to 17, let's take our Bibles, just read Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 16 to 17. You will see that God commands them through Moses to observe these days. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 16 to 17. 3 times in a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is Passover, at the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, and the Feast of Booths. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which he has given you. This was an annual pilgrimage. Every year, all Jews everywhere had to gather together at the temple, and they would make a pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem. Have you ever thought why on the day of Pentecost there were people from all over the world? You know, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, there were people who were, when the tongues came, there were people who were hearing them speak in languages of Arabic, of Greek, of Hebrew, of different languages they're hearing. And they're like, these guys are speaking in our languages. These people are not Gentiles, because Gentiles were not allowed to be on the mountains. These were Jews who were gone and spread apart in all the different days of the world, of different places of the world, but made pilgrimage on the day of Pentecost to come together on Jerusalem. And so they heard them speak in their own languages. These are Jewish people, okay, who are spread across the world, but came in Jerusalem for one of the annual pilgrimages. So even in the time of Jesus, people were following this pilgrimage. 3 times a year. So a devout Jew must make a pilgrimage 3 times a year towards Jerusalem. If I was a Jew, I would find the closest house to Jerusalem to avoid myself from walking too much. But, you know, they were spread apart in all these different regions, and they used to come to Jerusalem 3 times a year. This was happening from the time of Deuteronomy. God gave these rules and instructions to Moses. And we see here that these are the songs that are being sung. Psalm 120 to Psalm 133, 134 is being the songs that people sing as they travel to the mountain. So these two psalms are usually sung together, Psalm 130 and Psalm 131. They're next to each other, and people used to sing the psalm as they're going up the mountain. You know, Psalm 121, we know very well. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. So they're looking up to the hill as they're walking. That is why they're singing this song. They're looking up to the hill as they're walking. Finally, when we read Psalm 133, that's also a very famous psalm. We said, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Why they're saying that? Because all the males have gathered together and dwelling together in this place of pilgrimage. And that's how the song ends. Okay, so once you start seeing the theme behind it, you will see how Psalm 121, they're starting at looking up at a hill and they're walking forward. In Psalm 133, they've all congregated together as brothers. So the more we understand the context of the Bible, we start seeing, oh, how much more beautiful these psalms become, how much more alive these psalms become. Now, we never practice pilgrimage. Our pilgrimage is a weekly pilgrimage towards a church hall. But we know that we can gather together in two or three, and we are sitting, all of us are not making any pilgrimages. We are sitting here in this, in our rooms, our bedrooms, our kitchens, our dining tables, on our sofas, our couches, you know, wherever you are sitting or maybe even standing, you know, but wherever you are, you know that you're being ushered into the presence of God. We don't have to make a pilgrimage to a particular place to experience the presence of God. God makes himself available to us. Praise God for that. Amen. So let us look at this psalm once again. Again, let's look, Psalm 130. I set up this context so that you guys will understand what is the point of singing these psalms. Psalm 130, again, I like dividing the psalms a little bit. Maybe it seems a little bit like homework, but I like it. Psalm 130, verses 1 to 4. Let's read it together. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. So again, they're coming up from the depths. They're climbing still the mountain. Verses 1 to 4 of Psalm 130, you know, this. There's a cry that is happening to this person who's a pilgrim or a person who's on this journey. He's a pilgrim making pilgrimage. And he's saying, I have cried out to you, Lord. Hear my voice. The first four verses are a prayer that is directed towards God. It's a prayer that is directed towards God. And then verses 5 and verses 6, he is saying, he or she is saying this psalm towards themselves. Anjam aram vakingal avaru tanne odu, towards themselves. They were saying the psalm. And let's read 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. Okay, so that's 5 and 6. 7 and 8, now the psalmist or the person who's a pilgrim is now declaring to all of Israel. They are not walking alone. All the people of Israel, the true Jews, are walking together. And so they're saying to each other, they're saying, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So there is three parts. First one is directed towards God, the second one is directed towards the self, and the third one is directed towards the community. Guys, like when we come for worship, our worship should be like this. Our worship should be first be directed to God. God, you are glorious. God, you are awesome. God, you are majestic. And we praise him for what he's done. The second one is we quieten ourselves. We ask God to forgive us, to cleanse us, to purify us. And we ask him to clean ourselves. And we surrender. And we say that God alone is our hope. And we are waiting for him. And the third is we come together as a community. We come together as a community and we affirm that our hope is in the Lord. This is a pattern that is constantly present in the Bible. This is not just in the psalm, constantly present in the Bible. That we have to direct our prayer, our worship, our song, our praise first to God. And the second thing is we direct ourselves to a place of quietness. And the third is that we come together as a community to worship God together. So as we look at this psalm again, it reaffirms, it gives us a pattern of how God deserves or desires to be worshiped. We meet him first in our life. We place him first in our life. He is our hope. He is our direction. Second part, again, he's waiting upon the Lord. You see, even as they're walking up and they're getting tired and exhausted, they're waiting upon the Lord because they know that their hope is they're going to meet their hope. They're looking towards the future. Now let's come and read Psalm 131. It says, O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty. Nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. So verses 1 and 2 is talking about this prayer now. They're coming into the temple and then they suddenly say, you know, like, who can ascend to the hill of the Lord Almighty? Suddenly they're quieting themselves and saying, Lord, if there is any pride within me, if there is anything that disqualifies me from being here, they just sang about God being their redeemer. They're saying, God, if there is anything that is disqualifying me, if I'm thinking or distracted by anything else, take it away. I will compose and quiet my soul. And then that beautiful imagery, like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. You see, what is a weaned child? A child that has just been fed and is satisfied. What is a child before pre-weaning? Nobody wants to hold a child. Because anybody who holds a child, the child cannot keep quiet. Wants the mother and will only be satisfied with the mother. Even if the father tries to take, the child will be like, no, you're not good enough. I need the mother. The mother is the source for me. So the child will cry until the child goes into the mother's hand. Once the child is satisfied, what happens? You give the child to anybody else, the child will like, like they're happy, they're satisfied, they're cute, they're cuddly. But the minute they get hungry, only the mother can satisfy. This here is that when a child is hungry and goes to God, the child will only find satisfaction in the mother's arms. God is likening himself as the mother in this image. You see, we often see God as a father figure. We often call him Abba, father. Abba in Hebrew means father. You know, it's like we call him by these names. He is our heavenly father. And yes, he is our heavenly father. But in places like Psalms and Isaiah, God can also take on motherly roles. God says, I have brought you underneath my wings like a mother hen brings the chicks under. God takes on motherly roles sometimes. Even if your mother forgets you, I will not forget you. God takes on motherly roles too. And this image here is that God is saying, only as like a baby child that's hungry will only be satisfied with the mother. All of us are crying babies can only be satisfied with God. Only everyone else is fake. Everyone else cannot sustain us. Everyone else cannot give us what we really desire. They can shake us. They can sing songs to us. They can cuddle us. They can throw us up in the air. They can put us in a cradle and rock us. But that's not what we want. To be sustained, for the baby to be healthy, the baby has to go into the mother's arms. In the same way, for our spiritual health, for our well-being, you cannot go just to other pastors or other church meetings or listen to online messages. You have to spend time with God. Only God can sustain us. If you are not willing to spend time with God, your Father, one-on-one, you will not be able to be sustained. You will not continue to grow. How can we spend time with God one-on-one? His scripture, prayer, praise and worship, where we listen to him and we ask him to speak to us. That's when we have one-on-one time with God. Right now, we are not having this one-on-one time with God. We're coming together as a community, and yes, we are being fed by God, but the one-on-one time with God is where you and the Father are in the prayer closet together. That is intimacy with God. Even if you have no intimacy, you can come here and be fed. But if you want intimacy with God, it requires you to go and spend time alone with God. In your personal time, in your quiet time, in your time with God, you can spend time with God in prayer. That is where intimacy is built. My intimacy is not built when I walk with Betty in public. My intimacy is built when I'm in the bedroom or in quiet with her. That's when I can be intimate with her. That's when I can spend time with her. That's when I can tell her I love her. If I am in public and they say, I love Betty, but in my intimate time, I'm not spending any time with her, does that mean anything to her? No, it doesn't. Intimacy is done privately. Whether you chose to show it publicly or not, that's not a problem. But if you don't have intimacy privately, publicly is zero. It's just an act. It is superficial. A lot of Christians are like this. Let us not be like them. Our intimacy that we show on Sunday morning should come from the intimacy we have with spending time with God one-on-one. Amen. So these people are singing this song and they are realizing that just like a mother weaned the child, in the same way, God has weaned them. God is their sustainer. Verse 3, again, goes back to this. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. It's a psalm that ends like declaring forth, saying that hope in the Lord. Let your hope be in the Lord. It's a message of hope because they're getting ready to be fed. They're going to a place where there is intimacy with God. They're going into the presence of God. Remember, I said that in Jerusalem in the Old Testament, their intimacy with God was going to the temple. But in the New Testament, our intimacy with God is God being the temple within us. No longer do we have to make a pilgrimage to a certain destination to experience this anointing. No longer do we have to go to a walled place and be in a little community of believers. We can experience this intimacy in our own homes. Right now, I pray that you will experience this intimacy, and that intimacy will sustain you throughout the week. As you're washing your dishes, as you're taking care of your homes, as you're cleaning, as you're resting, as you're sleeping, as you're reading a book, whatever you're doing, let that intimacy of God never depart from us. Because that's what a true pilgrim's walk is. I wanted to share something more, but I'm going to end it here. I'll just give that idea and I'll drop it because I think my time has already been up. If you read 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, and Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. Both of these are songs that are sung by mothers. 1 Samuel 2, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10 was the song that was sung by Hannah when she received the Samuel as a promise. And Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55 is known as Mary's Magnificat, which is the song that Mary sang when, you know, she experienced the pregnancy with Jesus. Both of these songs are sung by pregnant women. And these are psalms in themselves. And this psalm is explaining how they will exalt the Lord in what he's doing. If you compare both songs next to each other, you will see that they're very, very similar. It's almost like they're both saying the same thing. Both Hannah's psalm and Mary's psalm go together hand in hand. And if you compare it and you can do a study, you can see that. But I just wanted to point it out. I wanted to look at Hannah's psalm. You see, in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, only men needed to go up for the pilgrimage. But this man, Elkanah, brought his whole family with him. So he brought his wife, Peninnah, and he brought his wife, Hannah. And as they're going together, they made it to a family occasion, a celebration. And he used to do that annually. Every year he used to go. So I believe this was one of the three pilgrimages that he was making. And as he was going there, Hannah experienced the song of God, where is my hope? I am waiting. I am tired. Where are you? Where is my answer? And so that's how Psalm 130 starts. Psalm is like, I'm waiting on you, I'm waiting on you, I'm waiting on you. And then when Psalm 131 comes and says, like a child is being weaned. So, and Hannah's heart breaks down because she's not able to experience or relate with the psalm. Some of you might experience this pain. If you have cried out and prayed for many years to have a child and you're not experiencing children, anytime someone starts bringing about children or you see another's child or you see someone, a part of you is happy for them, but a part of you is also hurting for them. You're sad, you're depressed because you're like, I'm not able to experience this joy for myself. Some of us will never have to experience that pain because we've never gone through. As a pastor, I've dealt with so many people who have come to me with experiencing this pain in their life, this crisis of why God is not able to bless me. So when we even wish some people Mother's Day and they're not mothers, it's like almost a dagger is going through their heart because it causes so much pain. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because when Hannah came, Hannah cried and prayed. And I don't want to pray and just say, okay, but she got rewarded with a child. No. She came and she cried out to her father. And she went away happy, even before she got the promise of a child. Hannah thought that getting a child will make her happy. Hannah thought getting a child will sustain her. But when she came into the presence of God, we know the story. She cried out to the Lord and nobody else understood her pain. Maybe today you might be experiencing this on Mother's Day. You might be experiencing a pain that nobody else can understand. Nobody else can relate with. And everyone is just smiling around saying Happy Mother's Day. But you're experiencing daggers going through you. But I want to lift you up this morning and point you towards Hannah. And say that when she came, she poured out her sadness, her cry. Nobody else could understand. Not even her priest, Eli, could understand what she was going through. But then, you know, Eli said, may God have heard your prayer. I don't feel like Eli's answer did anything for Hannah. But because she poured it out before God, she got up and she was happy. She was sustained. What does the Bible, Psalm 131, say? Only God can wean us. You see, it's not a child that makes us happy. It's not finances. It's not a degree. It's not some sort of lofty goal that we have set for ourselves. The only time we can ever be fully satisfied is when we come like a child in the presence of Jesus and we are fed by God directly. That is when we can experience true happiness. Then your pain of loss, your suffering, whatever else you're going through, whatever else you're missing out on, whatever else everyone is experiencing, but you are somehow not able to experience, fades away. Because God is the one who sustains you. You have God. And you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Children of God, I'm not saying I think this message spoke itself very clearly. I wanted to go into Hannah a little bit deeper, but I will stop here. And I just want to say, whatever your circumstances are this morning, whatever you're going through this morning, everyone seems to be smiling and happy. You might be the only one who's coming into the presence of God with a heavy heart. Your emotions are unbearable, but you're putting a smile. You're acting like everything is okay. But if you come into the presence of God and when you pray, all you can do is cry. All you can do is cry because you're in so much pain and so much agony. You're suffering inside. Let me remind you, church, that Jesus can handle it. Whatever you're going through, Jesus can handle it. Your cries, your tears are not falling on deaf ears. Wait upon the Lord. He is our salvation. Wait upon the Lord, for He is our Redeemer. Wait upon the Lord, because He is the one who can sustain us. As a child that is crying out for the mother to feed, in the same way, when we cry out, God will feed us, and we can be satisfied in Him. Let me just end with prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord. On this beautiful Mother's Day morning, Father, on this Sunday morning, Father, when so many people start thinking about so many different things and are worried about every other consequence, it's a day to be celebrated because, Lord, we are so grateful for the mothers you've given to us in our life. The pain and suffering that they have borne, Father, nobody else can understand what they went through. Nobody else can bear what they went through. Father, just like Hannah and Mary went through pains of pregnancy, but still were able to exalt you. Lord, I pray that God, that we look to you as our sustainer, that we look to you as our feeder, a primary provider, a primary caregiver. Father, if you are not there, nothing can make us happy. Nobody else can make us happy. Lord, I pray that we will grow in our intimacy with you and you will sustain us with heavenly manna that we need to survive spiritually every day. Thank you, Father, for this time. Bless our mothers in our church. Bless our to-be mothers in our church. Bless the girls who are growing up and let them find good women of God who follow after the heart of the Father. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for each of the mothers that have become like a mother to me in this church. I pray that you bless them and anoint them and fill them with your spirit and let them be used by you to be a blessing to many more people. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. May God bless us with these words.